Ladies and gentlemen, we're back here now for another special episode of the Rich and Facts podcast. I got two very special guests with me today from Homeboy Entertainment TV. These two have newly just gotten their YouTube channels monetized. They've been running the game for the past 2 years. We got my man Andre, but the streets know him as Youngie. And we got my man X in the building. Fellas, man, it's good to have y'all on the show. What's poppin'?
Yeah, we good, man, you know.
Great to be here.
Good.
You know, Rich Facts podcast.
Man, likewise, man. I'm big fans of what y'all do. And, you know, for my audience, of course, we need to know. I mean, being a YouTuber nowadays is one of the biggest attractions. Kids growing up nowadays, they want to be YouTubers. They want to be social media influencers. You guys are doing it. And you guys are doing it big, right? Take me through this journey from the beginning. How did this start? What made you guys want to get into YouTube and do what you're doing now?
I mean, I think we just knew we had, like, I think the way we started, we had, like, some interesting conversations where you'd be like, yo, if I put this on the, if we talked about this, we probably get some views, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you put it out there, you don't really get no views like that. And then you go back to the drawing board, and then it's like,
let's try it.
And, you know, it's like a bunch of trials and figuring it out. And then once you figure something out and it kind of sticks, you kind of, you know what I'm saying, take them a little more serious, you know?
I think the funny thing with me, though, is, like, I wasn't really into social media at all.
Okay.
Like, he had to convince me to do it. Like, I didn't do it. I didn't have social media. I'm 27 now. I didn't have social media until I was, like, 25, 24.
Really?
At all.
That's like, at big. All.
Like, don't even know how to use a keyboard shit.
I don't want to say all that.
That's wild. Yo, it's crazy.
Because I always thought social media was so weird. Because he would, like, tell me, like, little things here about, like, somebody might have posted this and that. And I'm like, why do people post their feelings on the internet? I thought that was so weird.
Yeah.
And then he finally is like, nah, we can, you know, you kind of just have, like, normal convos. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, we react to things. Because we used to laugh and joke about things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, why don't we just put it on camera, I guess.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't, you know, so my audience knows, you know, we all grew up together. We all grew up in Cambridge. We went to Cambridge Ranging Latin. You guys have been boys since high school.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, you know, from being boys now to being business partners, what has that jump been like? Because, as you guys know, business and friendship can go one of two ways. Either it can work or it can crash and burn hard. But you guys have been there keeping this thing up for 2 years. How was that played out?
I mean, I think, I don't know if you want to go first, but I mean, I think it's a thing of just, like, not having no ego, knowing you're here to do something, you know what I'm saying, and just get it done. Because we're not doing it with the idea, like, hey, we doing this to make $2,000 this month, we doing this to make this a month, we just doing it to do it, and it's something, you know what I'm saying? I think it's also a way, like, when you think about the YouTube, it's, we're getting stuff done, we're doing business, but it's also a way for, like, two friends to get together and, you know, enjoy, you know what I'm saying, do stuff like that.
That's
I was just gonna say real quick too, like, I feel like, even for me, I feel like it's just communication. That's all it is. Like, that's like, even I feel like sometimes with guys, it could be more difficult because you might not, because you're like, well, what if he's thinking this and I'm thinking that? And it's like, nah, like, we've always been straightforward with each other with, like, anything. So I feel like as long as we have that, we'll always be good.
Right.
Business-wise.
Well, I think that's because as men, we're like, we're always taught to just sort of, you know, keep our feelings hidden and whatnot. You know, women, like, the culture for them, it's like, they could text everything, 15, 60-something paragraphs or what have you. But the fact that y'all are able to click and make it work, that really says a lot. And, you know, you talked about how before you even did this, you guys are always talking and making jokes. Your YouTube channel is about reacting to stuff. How do you guys go about deciding, okay, what are we going to react to today, this week, this month, what have you? What's the creative process look like?
Well, it kind of just depends on what's put out there to the world.
Because
sometimes we might choose, like, okay, this is, like, the new hot video from this big artist. And then some other joints, just honestly, just our personal preference. Like, he might like something from the dance hall, reggae type stuff, like Afrobeat, some, or any music video that came out from that. And then I might like something from reggaeton. I was like, yo, we have to react to this. And we'll be like, okay. And then I feel like that's kind of what made us a little bit different too, is that we also react to our own cultural, like, music, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of people, like, mostly react in the rap videos, you know what I'm saying? Like, our videos that generally get a lot of views are either, like, upcoming artists that are, like, buzzing, Or like a reggaeton artist, maybe a dancehall artist. Because there's a fan base for them, but there's not a lot of people that like know them or care to, you know, focus on that type of music. Right. Just because it's not like a Drake song video coming out or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the thing. You know, you've probably seen with social media, it's like you might think that something's not popping, but you make a video or you tweet about it, or you, I don't know, whatever post, and next thing you know, you got 500, 1,000, 100,000 people looking at it. It's like, yo, you find out that there's that many people. I guess going from someone who had no social media like a year or two ago to now a YouTube channel that you're putting content on a regular basis, what has your experience with social media been like in this fashion?
Honestly, I realize how addicting it could be, kind of, like, because sometimes I'll just be at work, right, and then I'm just looking through, and I'm just like, damn, I've been on this for a minute. Like, well, I'm just looking through pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
And you realize, you start liking a couple pictures, you're like, damn, this keep popping up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, like, I'll look into the comments for, like, our videos, right, just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so, like, outrageous that it can only make you laugh. Because they say some crazy things to us. Like, they'll be like, yo, y'all was talking the whole video, you wanted to hear the music. But it's like... Bro, you click the video to see our reaction. But we got a lot of that. Or we'll get, what are the comments do we get?
Either that or they, like, I don't know.
They'll just, like, clown one of us. They'll be like, oh, I see dude ain't got his line open right.
Yo, that's about to be me, yo. That's about to be me. Oh, my God. What did I tell you? I said, yo, my hairline the way it is now, it's got to be every 2-3 weeks. Because it, bro. But I'm on borrowed time now.
I mean, I think.
I feel that.
They also say, like, the funniest comment I think I've seen is some guy was like, it's like a lot of African, like some videos, like Afrobeats, if you're not really focused on what they saying, they get a little agitated. Like, you guys are jokesters. You want to be jokesters so bad. Why don't you just go comedy show? Or they'll be like, this was very disturbing. You disrespect my artist. Please just delete it, you know?
Yeah, you see how ironic that is, though? It's like, okay, you're coming up. Because you could go and watch the original video, right? If you want to just listen to music or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're clicking on my content to see how I react to it. But you're telling, so it's like, yo, yeah. So you're telling me, oh, you're talking the whole time, or you know, I couldn't even hear. It's like, bro, you clicked on my video so you could get my perspective on it, my emotions to it. If you want to click on the video, like,
imagine if we was watching, it was like this the whole time.
You so dry, you don't even like.
Oh, y'all look mad, boring. Right. Sick, I swear. That's another thing. You realize you can't win, but. You have to realize enough, like, okay, this wasn't liked enough, like something that we might have tried. This wasn't liked enough, so we should stray away from it because it's not helping our audience, like, grow.
Well, that's really interesting because, you know, being an entrepreneur takes a lot of self-confidence. That's a lot of, because at the end of the day, you don't, as an entrepreneur, if something happens on the job, you can't blame your coworker. You can't blame the company. You can't blame, I don't know, traffic, whatever. It's all on you. And so, but a lot of that that by itself takes a lot of self-confidence and self-grip because it's like, yo, that means I'm not going to care what you think because when you're an entrepreneur, chances are you're probably the only person in your area, whatever, that's doing it. Everyone's thinking you should go the more traditional, the more safe route because that's how we're raised. But in this game, it's like, okay, You need to have the mental toughness to not care what people think, but at the same time, when you want to be in entertainment, you do still need a certain amount of people to fuck with you or fuck with your content so you can continue to do what you do. So what is that like navigating that for y'all's content creators? Like, do you respond to all the comments? Like what? I'm just generally speaking.
I mean, generally, I think we all try to respond to all the comments. Mm-hmm. Just because it's like... I mean, he thinks of it as fun. I think of it as, like, from, like, an interaction base. You want people to feel like they have a voice on your channel or whatever, right. Or they can say it and know that they're gonna get a response, you know what I'm saying, whether it be good or bad or whatever. But I feel like when you said about being liked, I feel like in a certain sense you do want to produce more content to your base that actually likes it versus doing something like... You know what I'm saying? Just doing something because it's going to get views, but nobody's going to like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if you're gonna do something that's gonna get 10,000 views and like 500 likes out of 1,000, it's probably not something we should be doing. You know what I'm saying?
See, and that's the other side of it, though. It's like, I'm not gonna lie, there's definitely videos we looked at. We're like, oh, this is gonna get us some views, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. it wasn't anything what we expected. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I think we both could be like, oh, we had a dope reaction. This might not get a lot of views, and then boom. Next thing you know, you're like, God damn, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes mm-hmm. it's just social media. You don't. It's not. There's not a formula to it mm-hmm. unless you can figure out like how to maintain that audience throughout that. You know, mm-hmm. because it's like when you're growing an audience, it has to come naturally. Mm-hmm. Because you can't force the audience to like you. You can't be like, okay, guys, we're gonna follow these formula of videos, and it's gonna get us this many subscribers and this many views and this much attention on the other socials. So
yeah, that's a really good point, because like there's a content creator that I follow, and I remember he was talking on Twitter about how he was saying how there's like at least half a dozen videos he wants to do, but he knows if he creates those videos, his audience is not going to get that. Like, I mean, it's not gonna make him income. He's not gonna get the views, he's not gonna get the likes. And so, you know, sometimes you'll put a video out that you thought, hey, it was A1, it smacked, and you didn't get the views. That's happened to me with some of my podcast episodes, and then there's some others where you're thinking, okay, maybe this wasn't my best one, but I'm gonna put it up there, and then bang, that one blows up. And it's so crazy because you never know which one it's gonna be. And I think that whole dynamic is you want to have that balance, because at the end of the day, you mm-hmm. do want to have fun with it. You do, to some extent, want to, because you want to react to something that you actually care about. If you're just reacting to something, you don't care about it, then even if it is getting views, eventually the drive and the passion are going to die down. So I feel like that's always a slippery slope with mm-hmm. that, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, though, because mm-hmm. we've had times, though, we was right to a video, we're like, nah, bro.
Yeah.
Nah, this is garbage.
And then we've had
not time. Feeling it, nothing. Yeah. You're like, let's just move on.
Yeah, and I mean, and even like the stuff that go viral, sometimes you're like, it was just something, it wasn't even the most thing, it wasn't even the thing you thought was going to be the best thing of the mm-hmm. day. You know what I'm saying? Like, our most viewed video was a Kevin Samuels video. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you know him or
whatever. Yo, I was, we're going to talk about that soon. We're going to talk about him, yo.
That video, I found it on Facebook, and I watched it on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, shit, this is actually kind of funny. It might mm-hmm. do get a little views, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's our most viewed video, and it wasn't off a YouTube thing. It was just something I was like, oh,
I'm watching. You can't even find a video, really. You have to really, really search for it.
Well, right before I met up with y'all, I was scrolling through y'all's YouTube channel. I saw two Kevin Samuels reacts. I was like, yo, let me save this on my phone, because I'm gonna listen to this. Like, I didn't even see the view, because I was just going through just to get an idea of what we were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, and there's so much nuance to it as well now. It's right, like, as far, you know, you got to think about how you want the thumbnail to look, because we're visual people. Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. if something is a certain color or if something looks a certain way, you know, you're going to click on it. If it has a catchy title, mm-hmm. you're more likely to click on it. And then, as you guys know, you obviously want to cater to your niche. So if this video is blowing up, that makes you think, okay, if I want to make this work, I might have to make more videos like this. Maybe mm-hmm. more Kevin Samuels actions, maybe more people who kind of have that type of energy so that I get that type of traction. Now, as far as for y'all, like, you guys have been doing this for, you know, about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
When did you guys realize, hey, yo, like, we like this, like, you guys are monetized now, but when did you realize, yo, like, this shit's really about to blow up. Like, was there a point where you guys, like when the views or whatever started coming, you're like, okay, this thing is really about to go to speed. When did you guys know y'all had it? I guess that's what I'm saying.
I think, for me personally, I don't mm-hmm. know if X feels the same mm-hmm. way about it, but I thought personally when we had it was when people in the comments had, like, strong opinions on something.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, yeah, I love this. You guys are great. Blah, blah, blah. Keep it up. Somebody's like, yo, I hate that person too. Like, I hate, like, the way you feel about that is exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I'm subscribing because of that.
I guess I can kind of agree with that, though. Because it's like, when you see people kind of say things to the effect of, like, I don't know, maybe I like this one better than your last one or something mm-hmm. like that. Or, you might see the same person commenting on multiple things that you do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, we actually got, like, a little, because we used to joke about it, like, oh, we got a fan group, whatever, right? Yeah. And then you realize, like, we kind of do a little bit, right? And then you're just like, wow, like, there's people out there that genuinely watch most of our content. That's really dope.
Well, I think, you know, you guys, as you're saying, the emotional connection is huge because I've noticed this in myself, even during the pandemic, I've started to comment more on YouTube videos. The more I resonate with it, the more I'm likely to do it. Part of that is because from the other side, being a content creator, I know how much comments and engagement helps, but at the same time, I'm like, yo, like, when shit resonates with me, I'm going to say something about it. And those are usually the channels I subscribe to more when I have stronger opinions or more whatever have you with it. Now, you know, as far as reactions go, you know, what's it feel like now to know that now y'all are getting paid to react to stuff that you love? Like, that is the goal for so many people. Kids, I got an 8-year-old nephew at home. He wants to be a YouTuber, man. He wants to be a game. He doesn't even know what kind of YouTuber he's thinking about gaming. He's thinking about sports. What does it feel like for y'all to be able to know that you have a stream of income now from doing something that you love, passion turning into purpose?
Feels good, actually, because it's like, I think we actually spoke about things like that before we made it, though, like making money from things you actually want to do. And it's like, I think everybody kind of said this before, where it's like being an athlete or a rapper. Now there's like everybody, you could be a gamer, making 200k a year, a YouTuber, start your own little business, like you could literally sell a business online on Amazon and just sit back and make money from it, or something, like whatever it is, right? So the fact that like people that look like us are also doing this, and if somebody came up to us one day and was like, yo, y'all inspired me, man, that'd be dope. He's like, yo, y'all inspired to make my own YouTube channel and stuff. Like, just because I seen how much fun y'all had. But I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's good, though, like, with the whole, people doing the YouTube stuff and stuff. But I also think it's kind of like a thing where a lot of people think, like, want to do it, but they don't really do it. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's kind of like one of those things where we know that every Friday from this time to this time, we're going to be here in the studio or whatever recording the podcast. And we know that. It's like, it's not even like a thing where you wake up and you're like, hey, are we still doing this? It's like, we know. We know. 7 o'clock. All right, we doing this.
Sorry, text you. Yo, where you at, bro?
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of people who do YouTube, even us, when we go to the next level, we sometimes do Zooms if there's something really popular going on. But I feel like eventually, when you start the YouTube, you have to get into a consistent schedule of like releasing work, you know what I'm saying? Because we'll stay here, we'll bang out like 12, 14 reaction videos, and then we'll put them all up, you know, just to maximize on all the views and all that stuff. And I think a lot of people, like, that thing that stops people from starting is that people are so, like, particular about how they want something to look.
They want views to pop up quick.
They want it to be perfect. They want everything to be perfect. And it's like, bro, just put it up. Just put it out. If it don't work, try it again. Just keep trying, and if it's not working, adjust it, do something different, but keep on doing it until you get down to what you really want to do. And I think that's a lot of things that people that who might have put like one video up and then stopped struggling. It's like, yo, how do I make this park perfect, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, it's,
oh, I just wanted to say, remember that first thing we ever put out with Unlock?
Yeah,
right. We actually, like, just, it wasn't, we didn't get, like, a crazy reaction, but it was people just hit, I don't know how much people hit you up, but the people were just hitting me up, was like, yo, y'all are hilarious, bro, I can't believe y'all was talking about it. I forgot what the topic was. But whatever it was, like, people were just like, yo, this had me rolling, like, I watched the whole thing and everything. And it's like, damn, this is actually a little something we could do. Like, it took us some time after that to really come together.
To the next level, just because it wasn't that, you know.
I used to look at some of the videos and be like, damn, look at the way I look. I had my hair all over the place. My beard was all messy. I don't think the audio was super great at first either.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And it's just like, yo, let's just keep that up forever. You know?
It's something that, and I see this with my nephew a lot, because obviously he's 8 and there's a lot of things getting exposed to, but I see this in a lot of us as adults too. It's very difficult to start from zero. Nobody wants to start from zero. Like nowadays, when you can go viral, and that's not saying that people that go viral end up being consistent. You can even see it in hip hop. You'll see a dude come out with a song, it'll be a banger, and then you never hear from them again. They might put out XYZ afters, but it never reaches that same peak. I think we're starting, because of social media, because of technology, there's such an instant gratification sort of era now. When you don't get the views right away, when you don't get the followers right away, it can be very discouraging. And putting yourself out there takes a lot of confidence and self-esteem. It might as well just be public speaking. And there's always been studies that say that, you know, X amount of many people would rather die than stand in front of an audience of, I don't know, 20 people and give a speech. So, you know, talking about, you know, just putting it out there, what are some of the trials and tribulations that you guys have gone through as far as getting to that point of being consistent, putting out content, not stressing too much about, you know, whether, I don't know, maybe the audio is maybe just a little bit off, or, you know, I don't know, maybe your lineup's not there that day, because like you said, those are the types of things that stop people from either starting or starting and then stopping after the second or first or second video.
I mean, I think for me, personally, my biggest thing is like, alright, when you show it to people that's around you, what do they think? Like, I say, like, typically, I feel like my girlfriend, per se, she doesn't really care for the content, which could sometimes, I guess, you know, say, be, like, a little discouraging, where you're showing somebody that's in your circle your content, and they're kind of like, eh, it's whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of, like, one of those things where you struggle with, like, yo, should I change it up? Should I do something different? You know what I'm saying? Am I, you know, being disrespectful here? You know what I'm saying? But then you just got to figure out that, like, sometimes some people like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes coffee, sometimes tea. Not everybody's going to like it, you know?
That's the challenge of it, though, because you can be discouraged by, like, people around you, though. That's the trouble of it. So it's either you change what you're doing, you stop what you're doing, or you just say, F them all. I'm going to just keep going how I'm going. So I felt like, for me, I looked at it like, what else we gonna do? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just keep doing it. What else? What could go wrong? At worst, people just, what's called, we get hate comments and people don't like the channel, but you still watching. So I just felt like, let's just figure out what works for us. And as long as we comfortable, don't feel like we can't speak how we want to speak. Let's just keep doing. Let's just keep making content.
Cause even to build on that point, like, I felt like one time I did feel bad about what he was doing was they was watching the Kevin Samuels video.
Kevin Samuels, yo.
The reaction, and there was some one girl. She was like, "You guys are so disrespectful." I hope you guys don't have thyroid issues and blah 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 issues. And although we're reacting to it, there's still some responsibility on us just because we put the video out there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we kind of represent, in a sense, what he's talking about. So she kind of puts blame on us too, because we're kind of exposing the content, although he's way bigger than us.
Right.
They're watching it and they're like, okay, these people think like that too. So now there's a herd of people that, you know, think like them. So it's kind of like,
there's a balance to that, though, because it's like, there's times too, like, we did react, and I was looking around, I'm like, oh, I think I went too hard, like, oh.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're kind of just like, you just learn. Yeah. You learn as you go with it, because it's like, even with that video, like, I saw some of the comments. We wasn't even talking crazy about the girl.
It was more so reacting,
the comments was just, it was going in on her.
Well, I'm glad you guys brought that up, because I think that now, especially in today's culture, right, being a comedian or any sort of entertainer is so touch and go. I've heard Dave Chappelle talk about it. I've heard Kevin Hart talk about it. I've seen some big, you know, YouTube content. Like, I don't know if you guys are Long Beach Griffey.
No.
Okay, well, I'll keep...
Is he like a streamer or something like that?
He's like...
Is he like an Aiden Ross?
He's like one of those dudes that like he does skits, right? He does like comedy skits. He's like a universal comedy skit dude. He's a brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, you know, but off the Kevin Hart and the Dave Chappelle, even Chris Walker was saying this before. It's like nowadays it's so easy to get canceled, right? It makes it really difficult as a comedian, but also in society, because Chris Walker was saying, not verbatim, but by basically taking the comedy out of comedy, you're taking away any sort of room for growth, for nuance, for, you know, just anything. Like, you're not allowing anything to breathe anymore. And so nothing can be a joke anymore, because either somebody gets offended by it, or, you know, if there's one person in the room of 100 who, you know, whatever, I don't know, fans gets a heart attack, all of a sudden it's like, you know, we gotta shut this whole thing down. So as an you guys are an entertainment channel, you know, I bet that sometimes, even myself, like, you know, I could be posting memes in a group chat with my buddies or whatever on social media, especially social media. I'm like, damn, I know, like, I've been told, like, I go hard in the pan on social media, and even sometimes I'm like, damn, okay, did I go a little too hard that time? But then it's like, you see where it came from, and you got 100,000, a million some people liking and sharing. It's just like, yo, even if I may have went really hard, but y'all fuck with it. You know what I mean? Y'all fuck with it. Like, yeah, there might be 100,000 people who don't fuck with it, but there's 100,000 more people that do fuck with it. So it's just like, where do you kind of draw the line? And you even kind of see that in politics, right? It's like, now with the last election, it's like, is this many people vote for this person? This many people vote for that one? Even if you don't know who's doing what, you go on social media and you'll find that many more people who think the opposite of you if you go and dig for it. So, like, you know, it's such an interesting dynamic going in social media now, where it's like, do you cancel everybody, or do you just kind of let comedy be comedy? And you know, I don't know if it's something like politics, whatever, but that's a different balance. But I'm sure it sounds like it's an entertainment channel, like, that's kind of always something that you're fighting.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's something you fight, just because, like, although the views of the people that we watch might not reflect our views, we still react to it. So people still assume, like, all right, well, they must like him somewhat, or must agree with him somewhat, that they got him on the show. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because you could be reacting to something that's popular, something that's controversial, whatever. The fact is, it's something that is newsworthy, and it's grabbing people's attention, and people want opinions about things. Like, you know, an album comes out, or, I don't know, a new video game, or, like, a sports team, whatever. We're always going through social media afterwards. Hey, did you see that game? What'd you think about it? Did you listen to the album? What'd you think about it? I don't know. Did you play the new whatever Fortnite download development? Like, yo, what'd you think about it? And we also live in an era now, I've noticed, is how you have a ton of people who will wait to see what the popular opinion is on something before they react to it, because they don't want to get called out.
Yeah.
People, even people that aren't big, nobody wants to be ratioed on Twitter. Nobody wants to be that dude that, you know, gets blasted in like a 5-10 minute Instagram rant video. It's like, nobody, you know, it's just like, the fear of being publicly humiliated has gotten to a point now where it's like, it also has taken some people out of character. And it does. I don't want to sound like some boomer who's like, oh, you know, things are better 20 years ago. I'm not saying that, but I do think right now, I don't think comedy as a whole is in the best place right now, because I do think there is some aspect to it I think is starting to get taken away, and I don't think it's healthy for comedy. I don't think it's healthy for us in general. You do need a level of that energy there. You need that rawness, because it's at the end of the day, from what we're seeing, there are people who think that way, and you do need to give some sort of a platform for that, at least to get out, because if it doesn't, it's going to come out in another way, and it's going to be bad. And the thing is, if it's not hurting anybody per se, if it's not perpetuating anything that's rarely going to cause some serious damage, I think that's where you got to pump the brakes just a little bit, you know. And it's just, I want to be sensitive to everything that's going on in the world right now, because there's some real shit out there, but you can't shut it all down either. We still need to laugh. We still need to be loose, because I think as comedians, I've heard other comedians talk about this. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but a lot of comedians, we're laughing at ourselves, you know what I mean? We're making light of really dark shit that happens in our lives. When you hear Kevin Hart got famous off of roasting himself. Mm-hmm. He didn't like that shit that he was going through, but he found a way to turn it into something that he could use to empower himself and to make people laugh by turning pain into power, by turning, I guess, unfortunate circumstance into something that he could look back on and be funny. You know, it's something like, I don't know, like if I... Like what happened today? I went kayaking. Me and my pops, we didn't know what the hell we was doing in there. We had to get out the boat in 10 minutes. You know, as a comedian or as an entertainer, I can go and make a joke out of that shit, right? I don't necessarily have to just go down the dumps about it, but it's I don't know. It's a complicated situation, man.
Another part of it too is like people get too in their feelings about something, mm-hmm, without fully grasping what the person actually said.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Because, yeah, like even the, who's a celebrity that got canceled recently?
Hold on.
Let
was me it think. The baby?
The baby. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like, even what he said, it wasn't like he said, die gay people, mm-hmm, or die people that, you know, do sexual things in the parking lot or whatever. You heard about
it. I heard, you know, he had like a controversial, like, homophobic comment. Basically, like, he got shut down from a ton of shows, ton of promotion, sponsors, all that.
But my question is this, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, he apologized, right?
Right.
What more do you want from him? Like, what more do people want from, like, do you want him to kiss every gay person's feet now? Do you want him to,
yes,
to be,
we do.
Huh?
Yes, we do.
See,
but that's the thing that's like, I have an issue with, because I feel like once somebody apologizes, people are going to have like their opinions about that too. They're going to, mm-hmm, be like, oh, was he sincere? Oh, he only said it because, of course he said it because of money.
Yeah.
Of course he did. Well, y'all forced him into that corner.
In situations, I was once told the best apology is change behavior, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in his case, well, was it like in a song lyric or something like that?
No, basically, no, he was like, on stage at, okay, at Rolling Loud.
He's like, yo, basically, shout out to everybody who wasn't like S&D in the parking lot, mm-hmm, before you got here. And
we say if your private area smell like water,
yeah,
light a thing in the air, like, or whatever.
And he's like, put your hands up if you don't got HIV and you're going down, yeah, like 2 weeks or something like that. So, I mean, just like two different groups that he.
But even
bothered
with the sucking the D thing, yeah, right? I remember I told
that's
him.
That's so random. Like,
yeah.
I told him, I was like, he probably saw that on his way there. It was like, what are we doing?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
The other thing about it is,
that's very specific.
Yeah, I don't want to hold an entertainer, mm-hmm, to the same standard as the president of the, yeah, United States.
Facts.
Like, you know, what 45 says in office, that's not the same as what DaBaby or, mm-hmm, Kevin Hart says. Like, I want comedians to go on stage, mm-hmm, and be loose with your shit. Speak your mind. If it's too hot,
they're artists.
We can talk about that afterwards. But that is their space to do that. That is entertainment. Mm-hmm. Entertainment has never been a thing where everybody likes. There's a shit ton of people out there that love Call of Duty. I've never been into Call of Duty. I mean, some people love baseball. I hate baseball. I'm a basketball, football dude. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, as big as some of those mediums are, they attract a ton of people, but they also are not liked by a lot of people. You're not going to cancel a video game because, you know, or, mm-hmm, I don't know, like a sport because certain people don't like it, or they wish that instead of putting baseball on TV that y'all would run, I don't know, football highlights or reruns, mm-hmm, or, you know, mm-hmm, whatever have you. So it's not the same thing, but I do think there is, to some extent, we're holding entertainers to a standard they shouldn't be held to.
See, and I think just to that point, mm-hmm, real quick too, right? You know who should, if there is going to be any, I don't feel like anybody should be held to what they say forever. I don't believe in that.
Neither,
right,
do I.
I feel like people should have, like you said, room to change.
Yeah, get
change
room
your thought patterns
change
and all that, right? But there are gonna be people that should be held to something they say. It should be politicians.
Yeah.
Because they control.
That's what I'm saying.
They control when we go to war.
Yeah.
They control laws and all types of things. They control a lot of things, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Those are the people we should hold that standard,
yeah,
to. Not an entertainer, mm-hmm, that can be bought off like this if you tell them to say, yo, if I give you $100K to go sing at Trump's inauguration, and say you support him, oh, okay, I'm down bad right now, I'll do it, right?
Yeah.
A politician is not supposed to do that.
Because you got
to get that out of office.
Right, because your job is basically to lead the people, to guide them, to make their lives better. To make the lives Entertainers, entertainment, part of the appeal of entertainment is to get your mind off of
real life.
Because real life is hard. Yeah. And so it's like, I don't want Homeboy Entertainment, Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, Chelsea Handler, what have you. I don't want y'all to pull back on the punches. If I don't, it's entertainment. If I don't like y'all, I can move the other way. Now, as far as voting y'all into the Oval Office, that's a different story, right? But entertainment, should be entertainment. Politics should be politics in that sense where it's like the people I'm holding accountable to do certain things. You know, and it's just like, I think some of that was also influenced by the election in 2016, because that changed the game as far as what people considered was eligible. Before, there was a certain look, standard, appeal that a president was supposed to have. But when 45 got in there, that changed everything. 45 was a businessman, an entertainer, you know. Now this person, the Oval Office, so now it's like, okay, well, if he's able to do this, the other side came with it too, where it's like, okay, now we're going to start treating entertainers like political affiliates or whatever. Some of that comes from the fact that it was okay. If we can't trust the person in Oval Office, now we need people who aren't in politics to do something about it. So that was part of what came with the other side about it too. But the other side was, now it's like, it's almost like in basketball, they call positionless basketball, how you got centers shooting jumpers. It's like nowadays.
Yeah, not all the old school guys.
Yeah. And sometimes that don't even work in basketball, because it's like you get into the playoffs still and you do still need some level of physicality. You might not need a 1970s type of center, but you do need some sort of an interior presence to guard the paint. That's why the Celtics haven't been getting far recently. But different time, different story. But basically what I'm trying to say to that point is, you still do need to have some locked in tradition in there. You can't just cancel every single joke if it's coming from an entertainer, because then there's no entertainment. You know what I mean? You do still need to have a standard, a pedigree in Oval Office, because your job is to lead the people. So you can't, you know, it's just like, you can't get too far outside of it either. And you know, as just like an entertainer, it's just, you don't even know what to do. And at the end of the day, like you guys were saying earlier, you can't please everybody.
Absolutely.
You can't. And I think you will run yourself crazy trying to do that. Now, as far as entrepreneurship goes, I want to segue into this. And this will kind of branch off a little bit of what we were talking before. We live in a time now where I see surveys from Forbes come out all the time. More than half the country, they're not happy what they do for work. You know, they want to be doing something else. People aren't sure if they want to quit their jobs and be a full-time creative entrepreneur, or maybe work full-time and try to build whatever hustle they are on the side. That is part of the dynamic of trying to do something else, trying to feed your passion. What has that been like for y'all? I know some people who basically quit cold turkey and they're trying to do the whole thing. I know some people who are working while building their passion. Maybe if the second hustle builds up enough, they'll quit the first. What is that like? What has that been like for y'all? What's y'all's perspective on the quit and go for it versus the kind of keep that job, keep the income going, and try to build the second one up? If that thing does quit, then you can, you know, kind of thing.
Well, for me, I just want to build, I have a certain number that I want to reach to, right? Once I reach that number, I'm going to quit what I'm doing, right? I don't want to say what it is, because, you know, things can change at all times. But once I reach the number I want to, that's when I'll really go full throttle with what I really want to do. Because I feel like it's, because I have a son, right? He's about 6 months now.
Congratulations.
So once, I want him to, when he's like 5, 6, 7, he's like, oh, dad doing what he want to do. Right? I could do what I want to do too. So now I keep thinking about that. Like, conversations I'm going to have in the future with my son, because I don't want him to be like, well, how come you didn't do it, Dad? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that would bother me that I'm like, he's right. Like, how could I tell him to do something? I'm not practicing what I'm preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I kind of just, I'm still learning a lot of things. So I'm kind of just like figuring out like, okay, I get this certain dollar amount. I could put it here, put it here, put it here, and then watch things grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because as you get older, you learn that one stream of income is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough. At least if you want to be comfortable. You know? Because that's what this whole idea of like happiness is really, happiness to me is really just about being comfortable. Right.
Yeah.
Cause I feel
that's a good point. That's a great point, actually.
And then you also have to realize that it goes like this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna be happy forever.
You're gonna have some rainy days.
Mm-hmm. So you just have to. You just want to get to the point where, if something bad does happen, you have all this behind you, all these funds and incomes to fall back on if things get tough, because they will get tough.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much good you do, you can help every homeless person in the world. You can help every orphan in the world. Something bad is going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to be in the best position to, you know, cushion the fall.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I tell most people, I mean, like, I feel like I have my job and then I do this on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like at a certain point, this will probably get too big, or say somebody be like, hey, this is you as a personality is bigger than your job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then that time will come. But I wouldn't tell like people who are just starting up, yo, quit your job, right? Because
mm-hmm.
now you quit your job, right? And now you're getting desperate to make it pop. Now you cloud chasing, mm-hmm. measuring people's names.
Yeah.
And now you got problems. And that's not even you. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like you took on another job doing something you don't want to do just to try to make money. You know what I'm saying?
Or please social media.
Yeah.
Oh, and on that, yo, did y'all hear about the dude who had a 100K job that he quit?
Oh yeah.
To sneak back to see if he could work for Logan Paul.
Yeah,
I didn't see that. I saw the headline.
That's a perfect example of what we're talking about right now, right? And you know, I'll tell you what. Not only was it dumb, Logan Paul was actually he gave him the time of day, and he asked some legit questions. He was like, "Yo, what do you do?" Why would he bring you on? And the dude literally was like, you could tell some people have no street smarts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was probably one of those dudes that, you know, raised up.
Don't you wonder how he got the 100K in the first place?
You know, yo.
And that goes back to what you were saying about the whole social, like, you know, you said the 8-year-old and mm-hmm. wanted to do the YouTube and stuff
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, and you say like how a lot of people might want to take like shortcuts. That's like the perfect example of somebody who doesn't know what they want to do, but they know they just don't want to start at the bottom. They want to have a little help to get there. Like,
yeah,
it's not like he was like, yo, I got a YouTube channel where I edit videos and I do this or whatever, we could do that. He's like, bro, I could fuck with you and then you could make me kind of relevant, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And now you take away the hard part, you know what I'm saying?
And, like, it was crazy because even listening to the guy,
mm-hmm.
he didn't even know what he wanted to do. He's just like, yo, like, he was literally like, yo, like, I make 100K, but he's like, I want fans. I want, you know, I want, yeah, he was like, I want clout. He's like,
a lot of wants.
Huh? Yeah, it's like, bro, you want clout.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't. Like, you don't want to work for it, you don't have any, you can't even say what you can bring to the table.
Exactly.
You can't even say what you bring to the table. And the crazy thing is, like what 100K job did he get, and what did, like, it's like, who gave him that job?
Logan gave him that job's probably like,
yeah,
like, or they might be like, maybe they're like, thank God he quit.
that too. He's like, oh, I was waiting to get rid of him.
Like, it's just so wild. And, you know, you talked about being comfortable. I thought it was a great point because it's like, you know, life's going to come and hit you in waves, man. And it's all about being able to ride that wave. You know, it could be, you know, financially. It could be mentally. It could be emotionally, spiritually. You know, I think it's about being able, I think the people that who are really able to rise up and really live a comfortable, fulfilling life are the ones that are able to cushion that fall. Like, I remember I heard this segment from Emmanuel Acho. He former NFL player, now he's like an analyst, and he was talking about how.
Oh, speak for yourself, right?
Yeah, he was talking about how when you're on a parachute and the parachute whatever doesn't work, it snaps. You don't die on the first landing. The first landing, you basically, all your bones are broken, but your body bounces. He was saying how on the second bounce, that's when you die, because that's when the bones, that's when basically, when the broken bones, they pierce your organs and whatnot. And basically what he was trying to say is, that's the idea of life, right? It's not the first time you get knocked down. It's how you respond. It's what happens afterwards. Mm-hmm. Either everything afterwards is going to break for you, or you're going to find a way to cushion that fall and get back up again. Because I think, some of us aren't ready for that rainy day, or don't know how to handle that rainy day, and that's basically when it ends. Man, y'all give me some great answer, man. I feel like we kind of covered the entrepreneurship thing. Mm-hmm. Now I gotta talk to y'all about some of what's hot in entertainment right now.
Yeah.
Drake just released a new album. I was telling him before you came in, I'm not a Drake fan. I'm a Drake stan, right? I fucked with that. It wasn't my favorite album. Well, not my favorite, but I fucked with the album. As far as Kanye, I need bangers, man. I need something I can pop in a club, and turn up to. Mm-hmm. Kanye album's just not the type of energy that I'm on, man. I listened like the first 10 seconds of that when I was in the gym. I cut that shit off immediately. I feel like I was being like hypnotized by some Harry Potter spell or some shit like that. But what did y'all think about Donda? What did y'all think about Certified Lover Boy? And just the beef between those two overall.
I'll go to the beef first. I feel like they kind of used each other.
Yeah.
I think Kanye kind of used Drake first to help promote his album.
Yeah.
And then I think Drake kind of was trolling him a little bit with like different little tactics that I noticed. And I'm just like, and then they both get their first week sales, and you're like, oh, well, I was surprised by the results. Cause shout out to Academics. Academics posted that Drake sold like 600K and Kanye was like 300.
People were still buying albums. I thought we were all streaming.
Mostly that's what it comes into. I don't even know why they still count albums like that, but
it just makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's like a standard that you're used to seeing.
But personally, like, it was kind of hard to get into Donda a little bit for me, because I told you that I was like, there were certain songs he had where I liked it at the beginning, and then as the song progressed, it kind of like, he did something to ruin it for me a little bit. I was like, and I'm just like, I can't listen to this.
Yeah, like I was telling him, like, the Donda shit, like, should take too long to come in. It's like 30 seconds before the song starts. Midway, the ending of the song switches, and it's like a whole different vibe, whereas I feel like the whole Drake shit made you want to be like a rapper. Or makes you, it's relatable. You know what I'm saying? He talking about stuff that you might go through, stuff that you might relate to, versus, you know what I'm saying, Kanye just, like, I'm God, you know what I'm saying? Like, weird stuff that you can't get down with, you know what I'm saying?
It's like a movie. When you're in a movie theater, what makes that movie lit throughout the whole watch is you got to start, middle, and end, but it all has to flow, right? Mm-hmm. It has to all be progressing towards one end game, and it's got to make sense at the beginning. If they're over here, then the end, they're over there. It's not going to work. That's the difference between a good movie and a bad movie. And with Donda, I'm just like, yo, it's just, not only is it not my type of energy, but it's just like, I just didn't know what I was getting with this. Is this a banger? Is this one of them, like, I don't know, slow jam kind of things? And then the thing is the anticipation for me going into it, right? Because Kanye was like, yo, Drake, this album's going to end you. He was like, yo, this album is going to end you. And you even had mad rappers coming out about this early on. They were like, they were hyping this album up. Like, I had never seen so many rappers come out and be like, yo, like before, like a month before the album comes out, like, yo, this shit's about to smack. It's going to be the hottest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And then you hear all this stuff about, verses getting cut out by such and such, whether it's Soulja Boy or you said there was another, Chris Brown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like,
Cowboy.
Yeah, it's like, why is this stuff getting cut out? And, you know, and if you're going to drop an album and this is basically like a War on Drake album, I need some bangers, man. I need like, you got to have a back-to-back in there somewhere, because when Drake and Meek were at war, Drake hit him with the diss track. Like, Drake came with the energy. Not only was
it
him
a softball at first.
Yeah.
I forgot the thing was called. And then he's like, oh, you ain't got nothing? Mm-hmm. Back to back.
Because it was a, because not only was it a, it was a lit diss track, but it was also a banger. Like, that shit was going at the clubs everywhere. It was like, even if you didn't have beef with Meek, that made you not fuck with Meek. Because Drake went so hard. And I was telling Dre how, like, I was telling Dre how,
shout out all them boss bitches, my
make sure you hit him with the prenup. Yo, but you know, even I was telling him how, I guess the beef started because, you know, I guess Kanye hit up Drake because Drake was on LeBron's show, this little barbershop show, and like, and you know, basically Kanye invited him to record music with him, and by the time Drake got there, they had already recorded everything. And then, you know, basically that's when Pusha T and Kanye, you know, they dropped. They basically bullied Drake into being a father. Like, Drake was trying to keep his kid on the low low. Yeah. And then, bang, you know, Pusha T starts making them baby noises. And then, boom. But, you know, another thing that's hot in hip-hop right now, man, is, you know, I'm going to save that one for last. But, yo, I was talking to him a year ago, man, Tory and Meg Thee Stallion. Yo, the streets was divided on this. You know, you got half the people saying Meg is lying. You got half the people saying, nah, Tory actually shot her. What do y'all think happened, man?
It's really hard to say, though, because the court case hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
As far as I know. Because it's like, she straight up said, the man shot me.
Mm-hmm.
He has said no, right? There's no video. All we can go off is what they saying. And how they putting it out there, right? My personal opinion, I think it seemed to me like it was an accident, and there was an argument. That's what it seems like to me. It seemed kind of crazy that he would just go like, "Or where? Ah, how you feeling about that?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I was telling him. I was like, I think maybe.
But I don't think he hit her straight up.
Might have skipped, because I think she had a photo. I think she posted like a photo of like the stitches.
It wasn't straight on.
It looked like it was like there was some sort of damage to like her heel or something.
Kind of made it look like when somebody throw a glass and something, and you just hit the glass, and now you gotta go get stitches.
Yeah, I don't know if you like shot a bottle, maybe like the glass shards, like.
Nah, I was telling you, I'm like, it looked like maybe he was doing some shit where he was like trying to scare, like, oh, I'm gonna shoot this thing up, and then he might have shot something. It ricocheted and hit her, which is still crazy if you do that, because you're playing somebody.
But
like,
if you are, this is the thing though. This is why you can't just get anybody no weapon. Because you start getting that liquor in your system.
Yup.
You having to heat an argument.
Go there.
This seems like the smart thing to do to show whatever you want to show, and then fuckery.
Yeah.
It's just like it's a really touchy subject because we're in the Me Too era right now, right?
Right, you know, women at all costs.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't want to be disingenuous and just completely disagree with what she's saying, because that's not what I'm trying to encourage. No, I think anybody should, because I think, you know, we've ignored women for far too long when they were going through stuff. That's why we have this Me Too movement now, because they've been getting played a lot, and dudes are getting caught up for it now. Where we're at the other side is we're at a place now where it's like, you don't want to get to a point where like there's no, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know what
you're talking there's like, no due process.
There's no other side. Like,
right. There's no other side. Because if both of them are under the influence and they were both angry and heated, it's easy for shit to pop off, man. Mm-hmm. Like, this time, I can say this to myself, my homies, babe. I was there. I was in college for 4 years. Like, people, shit will pop off after dark with liquor in your system, and you won't even realize half the shit that you were doing until your homies tell you, or shit or said the next day. Yeah. You know, maybe you thought someone snatched your chain, and it turned out that, you know, I don't know, maybe you got that shit caught in the door. Maybe, I don't know, you dapped them up, and then you ended up pulling on it, you know, by accident. Yeah. But, you know.
Let me give y'all a scenario, right? This might be controversial in the YouTube world or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But let's say you get into an argument with a woman, right? Mm-hmm. No, let's say I'm walking by, I see you punch a girl in the face. Boom, she gets knocked out, right? Most people walking into that are going to be like, yo, he's crazy. Why would he do that? Mm-hmm. What if I told you that woman smacked this kid? That woman put oil on him? Like hot oil on him? That woman might have killed a family member of his? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it now?
You know it's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, it's not, because once you put a scenario where people can relate to it, it changes the perspective of it.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's crazy is that half people are still gonna have their same opinions, and
then they gonna think that anyway.
A lot of people, yo, you still should show restraint, and then there's gonna be the other half like, well, now you say that, okay.
Well, see, but that's a great point, because it's like, in general, right? There's so many layers, and if you don't have all the layers, it can change the whole aspect of the story. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a great example. Like, another example, I always had this one, right? Let's say, I don't know, you clock into work at, let's say, 9 a.m., and your boss comes in, and your boss is, like, wiling at you for whatever reason. Like, you made a small mistake, your boss is wiling at you. All you know at that point is that, yo, he's spazzing. He or she is spazzing. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason. Now let's add another layer to that. Okay, right before boss clocked in at work, their significant other basically said, hey, yo, I'm divorcing you. It's over. We're done. We're through. Mm-hmm. Now that you add that, now there's a little more context to this. You can sympathize. Does that justify them spazzing out on you? No. Okay. But now all of a sudden they don't look like a crazy person. Yeah. Now there's something that triggered this. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that in general, like that, you, and I always say to my homies, different situations, it's like you got to have all the layers situation. You could go to a party and, you know, you might be hauling some shorty, and she, you know, she ain't with it right away. She cuts you right off. Maybe she's talking to you I'll say a good example of this. Maybe she's talking with you, and then it gets caught up after 30 minutes. And you might think, damn, man, you know, I mean, I shot my shot and I failed. Maybe you did it. Maybe she was feeling you, but she's got something going. Maybe she got some on and off right now with her ex or whatever, and she just can't give you that type of energy. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she just wasn't feeling herself that night. Maybe, I don't know, something happened the night. Maybe something happened on the way there. Maybe she was upset. Maybe she likes you, but she's just not in that frame of mind where she can be present right there, right now, and deal with you. That's happened to me on the other side of that, too. So, but that changes dynamic, because all of a sudden, it's not the fact that you shot your shot and you missed. It's the fact that, yo, there was just another factor that was going on in said person's life that you just couldn't control in that moment.
Yeah.
But little things like that make a huge difference as far as the narrative, your confidence, etc., what have you. So,
because facts always matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, now the other big story that's coming, which is a little more reason, I was telling him about, yo, Lil Nas X versus Boosie. I feel like this is another really sensitive topic, but I feel like it's a lot of different things coming together. Boosie is, it to me is like, I don't even, he is alpha male, old school, hardcore hip hop. The way he acts, what he raps about, etc. That's the stuff that we grew up with. That's the stuff that we still get from hip hop for the most part. You know, Lil Nas X is something different to the game of hip hop now. Like, I know he's not the first openly gay artist, rapper, but he's the first to go this far with it in social media, as far as being open about it, embracing it, etc.
And he has like different type of videos.
Yeah, and, you know. Yeah. I mean, this dude had the number one song in 2019. I think some people forget he came out right after that song came out. It wasn't like it was like a year or two. He basically came out with that shit like the next month. And, you know, obviously it's got a lot of controversy because, like I was saying, you know, hip-hop is black culture. And in black culture, you know, I mean, you know, religion, Christian, whatever, you is big in this country general, but like so much more for us because, you know, obviously with our history, all we've had for so long was faith and hope, and that's what we went to. And I feel like, as far as this right now, like Meg, I think, you know, Meg Thee Stallion, like a month ago, was like, yo, we need to, you know, basically address the homophobia in hip hop because it's going too far. And this was in response to the Boosie hip hop thing. Just to sum it up, you got people that don't even think Lil Nas X is gay. They think he's doing it for attention. They think it's all for clout. Mm-hmm. You know, you also got people who are like, hey, you know, we don't have a problem with him. We just don't want it in our face so much because we don't want our kids to be exposed to it, etc., etc. And, you know, Boosie's like, hey, yo, man, like, I'll fight you. Like, yo, keep that, you know, keep that shit away from me. As far as what's going on between them, how do y'all see that? And how do you, is this going to, I guess, is this going to change hip hop? Are we gonna start to see more Lil Nas X's? Is hip hop going to change? Like where do you guys see the game right now as far as what's going on between these two and I guess their impact overall? I know that was like a load. That was like a loaded question, but it was like I feel like this is so it's such a touchy topic and there's so much that goes into it. I just feel like I had to just kind of. Put all out there. Y'all can take your time with it, man. Yeah. But
I think it's inevitable, bro. Because anytime something comes out like that, right, there's always gonna be like people that I hate this. Anything gay, I hate it. And there's gonna be the other side. Is like, yes, let's embrace it. Finally, this is what I've always wanted. Whatever, right? To be honest, though, like my perspective is like I don't care. As long as the music's good, you know, doesn't get... The only thing I thought was weird with everything that he's done is the whole blood thing in the shoe.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That yeah.
I don't know who told him that was a good idea.
But Tony Hawk put it on the skateboard.
That's weird, too. Yeah. That's mad weird, yeah. Too.
But and didn't he actually get the actual deal, too, from Nike? That was, like, the actual devil. I think it was a
reseller or something.
It was, like a reseller?
Yeah, like, yeah. They was authorized to make Nike shoes.
That's going
to
make a lot of people uncomfortable, like, on the religious thing. Because it's going to make it feel like this is some satanic thing.
Yeah.
But that's also going to make people that didn't like him anyways
hate him.
Push that. Right. Like, yeah,
it's
okay.
It's just more fuel to the fire.
But it's also, let's be honest, great marketer.
Yeah,
but him.
He's an entertainer too. That's what I was saying. It's like he's a great marketer. Yeah, like, do I think there'll be more people like him? No. But there will be people that are similar to him because he's like a different type of. Like, he took from doing the whole gimmicky cowboy thing to like a whole nother. To like a whole nother level, right? Because it's like you had that. It was a big song, like I told you before. You're like, where can he go from this? This is like the biggest song in the world. He can't put out no songs better than that. Now the songs, maybe some people could like argue haven't been better than that, but they still slap, they still bump, and then he still got the gimmicky marketing just to push it forward and just stay relevant, and people like him. So
you still have to put out a great product though, to be able to do that. Because if he was putting out trash, let's just say like. Everybody agreed it was just straight garbage. Mm-hmm. Nobody would care about all the, like, you know, the naked dudes in the video. Like, nobody would care about it. They'd be like, they don't care. He's just trying to get attention. That's the way it would be looked at.
But since it's hot.
Because everybody's talking about it. Millions of views going up and everything. Now it's like, this is affecting the children. And I feel like that I don't necessarily agree with because it's like, if we're going to go that route, then we can say there's so many other things we can speak about that aren't good for kids either.
That is true.
Like, there's violent video games. There's
video games in general, man. I try to limit my nephew's exposure to that. Oh, man.
There's easy access to porn if you want to go that route, too.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's be honest, right? When you go to these, like, porn sites, right, everybody says, I'm 18. They didn't make it that hard. Even when you was under 18, I'm 18.
Oh, my God.
You gotta ask like a question that only 18-year-olds would know.
But as far as like, what else did you add? You said, is it if, like, you see it going?
Well, yeah. So I was also thinking like, because, you know, hip-hop has been, hip hop does not favor the LGBTQ. Let's just keep it a stack. That's not that medium where you're gonna get that type of representation. Mm-hmm. So part of one of my questions was, do you feel like are there going to be more openly gay rappers? I guess that will actually pop off the way that Lil Nas X has popped off.
I guess we'll see. Mm-hmm. It might take some time. We're talking about rappers because he's not necessarily.
Yeah, that's true.
He's more of a pop artist. Yeah, that's the way I kind of look at him. Like, he's more of like a pop artist. Mm-hmm. But as far as rappers go, it wouldn't surprise me. The only thing that they would have working against them though is who's gonna work with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
That's the real question you have to ask. So who's gonna work with them? Because everybody want to say. Mm-hmm. Pro this, pro that. Well, all right, well, let's see it in person. And to be honest, like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. If the song slaps, I mean, what I will tell you, if you say some, like, you know, some things that apply to men on men stuff, I'm not going to recite your lyrics. I feel a little weird reciting the lyrics or something like that. But
yo,
if the song slaps, play the song.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's funny because I know someone who after Lil Nas X came out, and I was bumping Old Town Road in the whip, and he's like yo Rich, he's like, switch that. I was like, yo, hey bro, it's Old Town Road. He's like, yo, he's talking about horse. He ain't talking about no horses. He's like, yo, don't be excited for bears. I'm like bro, if this
I heard
like
people say that too though. I was like,
yeah.
Probably did too.
I was like, yo, y'all are killing me right now. I haven't seen the music video with all the dudes in them, but I heard the song. Mm-hmm. I fuck with the song. I was like, song yo, the, I was like, the song slaps.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. I feel like before we wrap up, you know, the last question I gotta ask y'all is like, the Kevin Samuels video. So that y'all said that was the biggest one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the one where he was reacting to the shorty?
Yeah, she's like 300 pounds.
The BBW.
Yeah.
Oh man, yo, I think I saw that one too. That shit was hilarious, yeah. Man. Yo, like, I'm gonna go as soon as we wrap this up, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go watch us reaction to that right away, but. I'm lying. My last question to y'all is, man, like, you know, just real quick wrap up. Mm-hmm. You know, is there anything that y'all feel like I didn't cover? And then afterwards, it's just like, what, I guess, like, now I'm not going to ask, like, what's next as far as, like, what's the next 5 years? But, like, I guess, like, what's y'all's, like, where's, I guess, the energy at now for maybe the near future sort of thing?
Ooh, some of that I kind of want to keep it in the tuck for now.
That's fine. I don't want
to. But you will see more on my end. You'll see more on his end. I don't know what he wants to share, but
mm-hmm.
I kind of want to use this a little bit to kind of help me branch off other ideas I have as well.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, like I think from like a homeboy entertainment standpoint, I think we want to grow it to additionally become like a kind of like maybe like a breakfast club where we bring other people on. We have other segments that other people do. Maybe you might do like sports or something. Maybe somebody else, you know what I'm saying? Just so you touch all bases where it's kind of a channel for the culture, just because it's like homeboy, you know, it relates to the culture and just introduce more different things that black people would like, you know what I'm saying?
Word. Yeah, so. And where can we follow y'all?
You can follow us on Instagram, Homeboy TV. Mm-hmm. On YouTube, Homeboy Entertainment TV, and then on the
same thing.
Yeah.
All right, fellas, man, it's been a vibe. Hey, we bought a log out of here now, but you know, this is Rich and Facts with Homeboy TV, and yo, we out. Mm-hmm.